awake my soul, arise and sing. For all that my Savior's done for me, oh, give Him your praise, worship His name, all that I am, sing hallelujah. Forever I'm free, forever I'm changed. Forever my life defined by His grace. With every step, every breath, all that I am, sing hallelujah. Hey, yeah. Oh, my hope, oh, my soul, let everything within me praise the Lord. Through the shadow, through the storm, let everything within me praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Your word is my sword. The greater the fight, the louder I'll roar. The Spirit that raised Him from the grave, living in me, sing hallelujah. Hey, yeah. Oh, my heart, oh, my soul, let everything within me praise the Lord. Through the shadow, through the storm, let everything within me praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. I won't stop singing of all He's done for me. I won't stop singing of all He's done for me. He heard my cry, set me on a rock, save me from the hand of the enemy. I won't stop singing about my Savior. I won't stop singing of all He's done for me. I won't stop singing of all He's done for me. He heard my cry, set me on a rock, save me from the hand of the enemy. So I won't stop singing about my Savior.
Got it. And then February 25th, that'll be choir practice at 5 p.m. And then February 25th, that evening, we'll have our prayer time here at the church.
We will not be having children's church today. Also, if you are involved at Awana, we're going to be painting our derby cars this coming Wednesday. So the kids need to wear something that is paint friendly. And leaders might want to, too, because you never know what will happen.
Bible study. So let me update you on where we're at on our home group right now. Our Mike and Pam and their meeting at Pitbox Night. It's called that, right? And hey, if you don't mind, if you think about going to their house and you haven't mentioned them yet, they need to know probably how many seconds it's all out for everybody. you might just mention them. Ben and Melinda Ball are going to have one at their house, and we're going to be hosting at our house. And Max Blevins is like a thoroughbred racehorse, ready to charge out of the gate. I talked to him this morning, and he is excited about the lesson and the content. He is ready to go. So show up right here at 6 o'clock, and we'll study, we'll all study together about the Genesis history and all. I want to give you an update on the pulpit committee, and I want to tell you this, because I want you to get your phone out, and I want you to set yourself an alarm for 6 o'clock tomorrow night. You probably noticed some of our committee was absent last week, listening to them speak. We're having a meeting with them tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tomorrow night, to make sure that we're kind of alive, make sure that we're
good, that we kind of view things the same way. But we desperately need your help. Pray for us. Get that phone out. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Pray for us. And we want God's hand. If this is the man that God would have us be pastored by, we need peace about that. If he's not, that's okay too. We need to know that as well. So please pray for us. We really count on that. Thank you.
If anyone brought food for the Wheatley, Monica said those dishes that y'all use for that, they're in the kitchen?
Yeah.
All right. They're all? Okay. we all pray. God, I pray. Thank you for today. God, I pray for the message Linda's going to bring. God, I pray you speak through him. God, I pray for Pastor Search for me. God, I pray you be with them. God, the guy that you're leading to us, God, I pray you can see it and pray for it. God, I pray that you all you can do.
Come behold the
wondrous mystery. He, the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan of gold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love unfold. Of life, but no grave could e'er restrain Him. Praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power ever rested, as we will be when He comes. What a we will be when He comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. Away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that He said, now He was dead. This was the way it would end. Thank you.
Thank you again. We need you, Lord. We just thank you so much that you are in our presence. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Am I coming through loud and clear there for a second? Matt, worship team, thank y'all so much again for leading us in worship today, bringing us to the throne of God, helping us get to that place of singing about the Lord. That, you know, music for me just brings me to the a closer relationship with Him. And so I appreciate the worship that we get to have. This morning, we are in Acts chapter 2 again. Let me just kind of remind you where we've been. This is our third attempt at trying to get through Acts chapter 2. In the first part of Acts chapter 2,
about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked about the
day of Pentecost. You know, the day that the Holy Spirit came, the promised Holy Spirit that came, it was a supernatural event. Supernatural things happened, and a whole huge crowd was drawn because of what happened. And then we talked about what happened after that, and that was Peter's sermon. After all these people got there, then he began to preach, and he started off talking about the last days. He said, we're living in the last days. And he also talked about that there's going to be a day coming, a day of judgment that's coming. And then he kind of ended up by saying it doesn't matter what day it is, at any time, any day, you can call upon the Lord and be saved. And it says that many people, it said that like 3,000 people joined together that day and began to form the first church. So the church went from being 120 approximately to 3,120. And all of a sudden there was this growth. And in the passage that we're going to look at today, it carries on with what's happening. And it's carrying on and it's talking about the first church. And we're going to call it the Church Unleashed. You know, how the Holy Spirit came and just gave freedom, gave opportunities, gave influence, gave power. And I'm so thankful that Luke included these little six verses that we're looking at, because it gives us a glimpse of a couple of things. It gives us a glimpse of the first church. Yes, I guess it could be First Baptist Church of Jerusalem or something like that. The birth of a church. Maybe you've heard this passage preached that way, that this was the birth of the church. But I want us to look at it as the Church Unleashed. Man. From this point on, through the book of Acts, the church continues to grow in power and influence. And it's a great passage of Scripture. Let's read these. If you would stand, we're going to read these verses together. Acts 2, starting in verse 42. This is what the word says. I'm reading out of the ESV. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this morning, first of all, you would unleash your Spirit. We're aware that your Spirit's here already. But Father, may your Spirit have freedom to move in my heart, in our hearts today. Father, may you unleash the church all over the country, all over the world today, to do your service, to do your ministry, to draw others, to help others come to an understanding of who they are in light of your word, and to learn to walk with you. And Father, may you unleash us as your church today. May we be obedient to your word, to your call. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So in this few little verses here that we have, talking about the first church, the beginning of the church, God's unleashing the church. And there's several things in here that I think are really important for us to look at. And one of the things is this. It's the activities of this unleashed church in this first verse that we're going to look at. And you can take these four things that we're going to look at just under this first point, and you could use them as a gauge for our church. Are we doing this? The first church did this. Are we doing this? And in fact, in some of the study and reading and that I've looked at for this passage, some folks would say, hey, these are the four building blocks for a healthy church. And so this morning, maybe we need to look at these and say, hey, are we doing these? Are these things that we are working in, touching, these kind of activities as an unleashed church? And so look at this. The first one is this. It says that they were devoted, and they're devoted to four things here. Says that they're devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Devoted means this, that they are consistent, that they are tuned in, that they are working on this, they are persistent at doing these things. And the first one, it says that they are devoted to the apostles' teaching. In some different translations, it might be the apostles' doctrine. So what does that mean? It means that they are centered in on God's word as it is being taught to them, as it is being given them, spoken from what the apostles have learned from Jesus, number one, and second, what they have understood and know from the Old Testament. These stories, these teachings that have been passed down are now being passed on to the people that are these 3,000 plus people that are gathered together. They are devoted to the teaching and the doctrine that is being given toward them. Now listen, as a church, we need to be devoted to God's word. We need to be consistently pursuing and learning and understanding God's word. The Bible, as we understand it and as we proclaim it, as definitely as Baptists and as Christians, is the infallible, the inspired, the inerrant word of God. And we hold that up and believe that about God's word. Listen, the message of the Bible, the big message of the Bible is this, that God is holy, he is just, he is right, he is loving, and then we are not. We are sinners. We are not holy. We are not just. We are not right. And sometimes we are not loving. And the story of the Bible is that because we have a God who is this, he loves us so much that he has given his son, who we have sang about this morning, he has given his son in our place as a sacrificial atonement for our sins, so that through faith, if we believe in Christ, we can have a right relationship with God, and we can have eternal life. Listen, the Bible has two primary topics, that messages. One is how we can have eternal life. The second is this, how we can navigate life now in this crazy world that we live in. That's what Scripture is all about, helping us understand how to have eternal life and then how to live life. We have got to be devoted to Scripture. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night prayer meetings. That's why we have small groups, is because we need the Word of God and we've got to stay devoted to it. Second thing it says in here is that, these guidelines that it gives that they're doing is that it says they're devoted to the fellowship. And y'all know this. The word fellowship is the word koinonia. And the word koinonia is, we really don't have a good English word to define koinonia. We define it as fellowship. In fact, the word koinonia is used in Scripture like 20 times. 12 out of the 20 times, it refers to a gathering, you know, getting together. Those other 8 times, it really kind of redefines what this fellowship looks like. Because it's in the word is defined as sharing. It's about caring. It's about being generous with one another. In fact, the word one another, is that term is used 60 times in the New Testament. 60 times. It's talking about our relationship as a one anothering relationship. And so when it talks about fellowship here, it's more than just gathering together to eat. It is about caring. It is about loving. It is about being empathetic. It's about sharing your resources with each other. Koinonia is a huge word. So when it talks about being devoted to the fellowship, it is so important that we understand it's much bigger than just gathering together. It's much bigger than that. One of the things that about this koinonia and fellowship is, why do we need this fellowship? Why do we need this koinonia? If you could look back in verse 13 of Acts, we passed this 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the people came together at the end at Pentecost, and they had this question: what does this mean? We talked about this question: what does this mean? And right after that, verse 13 says this. It says, "But others mocked them, saying they were drunk on new wine." You know why we need koinonia? You know why we need fellowship? Because you live in a world that will mock you if you live a Christian life. We live in a world that, for us, sometimes this word is really too strong, hatred. But there are haters out there, to use the terminology of our youth. And there are haters of Christianity. If the reason that we need fellowship is to be strong in what we do. There's two types of fellowship, you know, going on mainly with believers. One is large groups. You know, this is a large group. This is how we gather together as a large group. And there are small groups. We talked about those this morning. Being in a small group, being in a Sunday school class. Listen, a sermon like this with a large group is a monologue. But we also need to be in opportunities to have a dialogue where we can talk about life, where we can talk about Scripture, we can talk about what's going on. Unfortunately, in a large group like this, it's a monologue. I get to talk. Y'all don't. Probably if you did, Russell has a cattle prod back there. He may have to shock you a little bit just to say, "Hey, in the name of Jesus." But in a small group, and I'm saying that because the importance is being in a small group, because in a small group, that's where you get to share. That's where you get to talk. That's where you learn. That's where life happens in the church, is in small groups. That's why you need to be in a Genesis study Bible study group. So, large groups, koinonia, how important that is. And then the second thing it says, that they are devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, in this passage of Scripture, twice it talks about this. It talks about it here, and if you run down a little bit, it says that they were breaking bread from house to house. So breaking bread carries two things here. It carries with it the idea of that they shared meals together, they shared lunch together, and had fellowship over the meals together, but it also carries what? The idea of breaking of bread is communion. One of the ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper, it carries with it the idea that this, the loaf. You know, fortunately, in Baptist circles, we don't use one loaf of bread when we do communion. But some churches still do, you know. The idea of this one loaf, this one is the idea that we are of one body. We are one body. And if one part of that body suffers, all of the body suffers. that we are cut from one loaf of bread, and that Christ's body was broken for us. And we do that in remembrance, to remember the sacrifice that he had for us, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood, communion together. It says that they were devoted to the breaking of the bread, and it says they were devoted to prayers. How important is prayer? A year ago this week, you probably heard about this, but a year ago this week, there was at Asbury University in Kentucky, at a chapel, a movement of God started through the prayers of students, and it lasted weeks and weeks and weeks, and people from all over the country, people from all over the world began showing up at Asbury just to see what God was doing. Because there was brokenness, these students were broken over their own sin, just a handful of students stayed after chapel and began to pray. And it started a whole prayer movement for weeks and weeks and weeks. The presence of God, our prayers, have to be effective. Nothing happens apart from prayer. Listen, no movement of God has ever happened except from the persistent prayers of God. You heard this morning a plea from Brent. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, pray. Put it on your calendars. Put it on your phone. Because God moves along the lines of our prayers. Pray. Pray. Be persistent in your prayers. The Church Unleashed were about these four activities. They were so devoted to the Word of God. They were so devoted to this koinonia fellowship of living life together. They were devoted to the breaking of the bread, the communion of not only just life and life, eating lunch together, but reflecting on what Christ had done, and then prayer. Praying, pray, pray. The church was just being built and unleashed. And if we want to measure ourselves, church, one of the things we can look at, how are we doing in these four areas? These are just basic building blocks that everything else that we do as a church spring off of. The Church Unleashed, the activities that were there. Next thing I want you to look at it, though, in this is the attitude. The attitude of this unleashed church. It says, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and those who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need, and day by day, attending the temple in the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God continually. Listen, the attitude of this unleashed church. Number one, it was awe. They were stunned. Literally, the word there is the word phobos, which means fear. But what was happening here, this awe, it was not necessarily terror. It wasn't the terror. It was they were stunned. They were shocked. They were seeing things and experiencing things that took their breath away, that caught their attention. I know you can think of times in your own life that you were kind of struck in awe at a sunset or something that just caught your attention, and this was a divine catching of their attention, that they were in awe of what God was doing. They couldn't get away from it. They couldn't take their eyes off of it. The experience was so strong and so powerful. They were seeing these signs, these wonders. I don't know what they were, but they were shocked, and they were stopped in their tracks. It brought about what it does, that kind of awe brings about a reverence and respect and praise for God that just comes out of us. And that was part of this attitude of this unleashed church. It was awe. The next was this. It's an attitude of generosity. Did you pick up what was going on in verses 44 and 45? It says, the things that they held in common. Okay? It was an uncommon commonness. I don't know how to say that. They were willing to give up what they had for someone else. Now, I need to throw in an apologetic right here, okay? Because this is not, and these two verses have been used to try and support communism and socialism. Listen, the Bible does not teach socialism or communism, okay? Not at all. Proponents of socialism and soil, look at this. They were selling all they had. They were living in common. This was not communism. This was communism, okay? This is not socialism. This was for survival. If you were a Hebrew at this time, we touched on this a little bit, but if you were a Hebrew at this time, and you came to Christ, you could be put to death. In fact, your family, for a Christian convert, someone in the family to convert to Christianity was like rejecting the Jewish faith. They would have a funeral for you. But you were severed from your family. You were as good as dead to them. If you weren't killed by the religious side of things, that was why Jesus was killed. Listen, these people now, all these people that had gathered from all over the world, basically, who had come to Pentecost, and now they've experienced Pentecost, they had no place to go. So the people were selling things, people were giving up things, to help people just survive. There may come a day when we have to experience the same thing. There may come a day when we have to gather and we may be giving up some of our resources to help other people survive. The church at this point was so young. And so many of them were outcast. So many of them had lost their jobs that they were taking care of each other. Listen, the Bible is strong on a work ethic. On a work ethic. In fact, in Thessalonians it says, if you don't work, you don't eat, basically is what it says. In 1 Timothy it says this, if a man doesn't take care of his family, he's as good as an unbeliever. We're challenged to work. And I want you to see something here. Not everybody sold their homes because they were going from home to home. So it wasn't like everybody sold their home to do this. Some did, but more than anything, it was an attitude of generosity. How can we help each other survive? And then the other attitude that's listed here is that of gratitude. If you look down that last verse, it talks about this. It says day by day they were breaking bread in their homes, and it says for their food with glad and generous hearts. Glad and generous hearts. They were so grateful to God. They were so grateful that God was providing for them. This unleashed church had an attitude of awe, of generosity and gratitude. But the last thing I want us to look at this morning is this, though. This unleashed church was also an amplified church. Okay? It was an amplified church. It comes from this verse in verse 47. It says, and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This word added to is a word that means, it literally means to bring alongside or to place beside, to add something alongside. It's like if you had a $100 bill and you laid another $100 bill there, you'd have $200 bills. And if you put a third one there or a fourth one, it grows. It is amplified. The value of your money is growing, and it's being amplified. And there's a couple of things here with this church that are being amplified, that are growing in influence and power. And the first thing that's mentioned here is favor. It says they had favor with all the people. Their favor with all these people, God had given them favor. One of the things it mentions here is that they're meeting in the temple. Okay? How does this work? You've got this huge group of people. There's a portion of the temple called Solomon's Porch where 1,000 or more people could meet. And these people are meeting daily in the temple. They have such favor that and with what's going on, and yet it's the religious group in the temple that have crucified Jesus. You know, it's like, but where else would they think to meet? They're going to go to church, and their church is the temple, and they're showing up in droves at the temple, and they are finding favor with the temple guards, with the priest, with other people. Listen, influence, favor is influence, gives you influence with people. And when, wherever you're at, we need to ask, when I say wherever you're at, school, work, Walmart, wherever, we need to pray for the favor of God. Because when we have the favor of God on us, we have great influence in people's lives, in our community, and they had great influence. God gave them much favor. It's added to. It was amplified. The next thing that's amplified here is this, and this last few words. And it says, and the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved. Day by day. This church that went from 120 to 3,120 is continuing to grow. He is amplifying. He is adding to this church day by day by day. This picture, I hope, of this church, of a church unleashed. Man, this is the desire of my heart for our church, for Osage Baptist Church. Man, that we would just be unleashed, that God would turn you and us loose to have incredible influence in our community and in our families and with our friends, so that day by day by day, God would add to our church, His church. I don't know if you noticed this in this passage that we read, but there's a lot of ands, A-N-D-S, ands in this. In fact, there's 16 ands in this. It's really interesting. We talk about being amplified, and this, and that, and this, and that, and. I took the liberty of kind of writing these out. I want you to listen to these ands in hopefully an application to what we're talking about this morning, because I want to use our church name in here. And the church at Osage studied the Word of God. And the church at Osage met together to worship. And the church at Osage met on Wednesday nights to pray. And the church at Osage shared life with one another. And the church at Osage fellowshiped together over meals together. And the church at Osage helped each other with when someone was sick or in need. And the church at Osage gave extra to other ministries like Hiding Place Hollow, Lottie Moon, the Boys Ranch, Baptist Collegiate Ministry. And the church at Osage invited folks over for meals on Sundays and other days of the week. And the church at Osage served with joy and gladness. And the church at Osage had great favor in the community. And the church at Osage is seeing people join them in worship and ministry. 16 ands in there. And this, and this, and this. He wants to amplify what we're doing here. One of my favorite sayings from one of my former bosses, it was this. The reason that we share the gospel, the reason that we do church is so that there will be more people in heaven and fewer people in hell. I read this story this week, or I was reminded of this story this week. It was back in 1893. It was a guy by the name of Black. I want to tell you, it's James Black. James Black was he was the youth minister and music minister of the church, Matt Dalton. And he worked with these youth, and he led his church in worship. And he was cutting through town one day, and he went down this alley, and he ran into this girl who was 14 years old. And it was like this girl was homeless. She came from, unfortunately, a real broken family, and she had been abused. He began to take care of her. He got her involved in his church, in his youth group. So she started coming to church there, going to youth group. She, in his youth group, one of the practices he did was he had his youth memorize scripture, and he would call the roll. And so when he would call the roll, he'd say, Johnny, and Johnny would say, I'm here, and Johnny would have to quote a verse of scripture. So this young girl had gotten involved with this church and this youth group, and so every time her name was called, she would have to stand, she'd have to quote a scripture. Well, one Sunday, she wasn't there. And he began to wonder. He called her name, called the roll, called her name. She wasn't there. And so he began to wonder about that. And God convicted his heart. And he said, I wonder what's going on with her. And so he sat down, and because nobody answered the roll for her that day. And he wrote a song, which you all know. It's called When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. He wrote those stanzas in probably an hour or 2 hours, all the stanzas of When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. He sat down at the piano and then composed the music in the next hour. The next week, she didn't show up again. When he called the roll, she wasn't there. The next week, he went to find her and found out that she was dying of pneumonia. And that next week, she passed away. And the first time that song was sang, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, was at this young girl's funeral. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Will you stand with me? We have a time of invitation. I don't want you to miss the roll call. If God is speaking to you today, this is a great day to answer the call. And so we're going to have this time of invitation. If you'd like to come and visit with one of these couples about, number one, your relationship with Christ, whether your name's on the roll or not, or if there's just something going on in your life and you need to spend time praying, then that this would be a great time to do that. And I know the invitation is always open. When we end here a little bit, the invitation and close, God is always seeking you. He is seeking after you. One thing I want to say about prayer. Prayer is more about listening to God than it is talking to God. And so for just a moment, I'd like for you to just listen before we sing. Just listen. See what God's speaking to your heart. You know, there's two phases of prayer. I call them seeking his hand or seeking his face. Many times, most of the time, we seek his hand, what he can do for us. But when you seek God's face, it means that in a quiet way, you are trying to see and identify with God and to hear him. You know, we identify people by their faces. You recognize people by their faces. And to getting to know God is getting to know and seek his face. To know his will. To know his plan. To know his purpose for your life. So for just a few seconds, let's seek his face before we sing.
Father, we come to you this closes of this service. Father, we just pray that our hearts have been convicted this morning, that we come to know you in a more precious way. And Father, we just thank you for Brother Lynn and the message you sent through him this morning that challenges us. And Father, just calls for commitment. And if we go from this place, our Father, we just pray that you go with us, protect us, give us an opportunity to represent you, that we might grow together, that we might be a representation of you in this community. Forgive us where we fail you, Father. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.